The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Barstool Big Cat. Host of Pardon My Take. And voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That's right, it's Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and Barstool Big Cat, as always, brought to you by our great friend and partner, R.J. Curcio, in the Curcio Law Offices. I saw him tweet today. He was very excited that Hoodie and I were paired together once again. He's a fan of the radio station, and he's great at what he does. You need a personal injury attorney, give RJ a call. His phone number is 312-321-1111, 312-321-1111. Big Cat, how are you feeling? Does Justin Fields still have you as a sad boy?
Oh, man. I'm trying to come out of it. I just kept on muttering to myself like a psychopath. Like I was just walking down the street just being like, 23 pass completion. And I'd say it out loud, and people would be like, that's pretty good for a game. And I'd be like, oh, man, I don't even want to get into this. So I'm down bad. And the craziest part is we're playing the Giants on Sunday, and one of those two teams is going to be 3-1. That makes no sense.
Are you going?
I'm not going to go because I got to watch all the games.
Yeah,
and I don't – this is a – I feel bad. Do you guys have the same feeling? Like, I feel bad that I am so down about a 2-1 team. Like, the Bears, we knew they were going to have a bad year, but they're 2-1, and they could win this game on Sunday. Like, the Giants aren't very good. So I feel, like, almost guilty that I have these such negative thoughts on a team that's over 500.
You know what? We would all feel better, Big Cat, if the Bears were 2-1 and the quarterback was working well. The idea that you've got a running game that's going like 1984 is cool, but that's not the NFL today. If we're 2-1 and Justin Fields is all of a sudden top 10 quarterback, okay, now we got our chest out. Now we're proud. Not now.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. By the way, Jay Hood, it's great to hear you when I don't like need some ridiculous three-pointer from a UIC guard to cover a spread. Like, this feels nice. Usually when I'm listening to your voice, I'm in rock bottom mode, like trying to cover a spread and being like, why'd I bet on this game? So it's good to hear you under different circumstances. But, yeah, you're right. Like, I had the stat. The last time a team had less than 23 completions, pass completions, in the first 3 weeks of the season was the 1978 Tampa Bay Bucks. And one of the quarterbacks, they had like three or four quarterbacks that played in those three games, was Gary Huff, who was an all-time bad Bears quarterback. So it's like this big circle of just terrible Bears quarterbacking. And it's disappointing. And I don't know where you guys sit. I've seen a lot of people be like, you got to give him time. He doesn't have weapons. I agree that he doesn't have weapons. I agree that he has not been given a fair shake. But I also don't think that he's taken any steps forward. It's not like it's not some high bar that I'm asking for. I'm not saying Justin Fields should be looking like Jalen Hurts or Tua because those guys are surrounded by a ton of weapons. I'm just saying look a little bit better than you did last year and a little bit better than you did the week before, and it just hasn't happened.
You even uttered the name Josh Rosen.
It's bad. We have this running joke. Josh Rosen, if you ever look up Josh Rosen's game log, we call it the Josh Rosen. I've never seen a quarterback who can throw as many attempts and have as few yards as Josh Rosen. Every time Josh Rosen got in a game, his stats would be like 12 for 21 for 78 yards and an interception. And we're getting to that point.
You're around these Northeast guys all the time, the Giants fan. The Giants, we're back, okay, we got DeBoer. He's our head coach. I'm sure around these Northeast guys, I know that they're happy about what they're doing right now. That's why I want the Bears to smash the Giants to get bastards.
Yeah, I do too. I think a little bloom came off the rose, though, last night because I actually don't think Daniel Jones looks that bad, but the Giants clearly, they are kind of in a similar spot with the Bears in that they're just devoid of top-end offensive talent outside of Saquon Barkley. Like, they don't have receivers, their offensive line. Let me hear what you guys have said about this. I think the Bears' offensive line has been pretty good, like, all things considered. I don't think the Bears' offensive line, especially running the ball, they've been great. But, like, that's another one where everyone says, well, Justin Fields has no time. I think the Bears' offensive line has been, and maybe you have some advanced stat that tells me they're the worst in the league, but I think they have been adequate. Not terrible, which we all expected they could be terrible.
You know where our advanced stats are, Big Cat? Left eye, right eye, and HDTV.
Yeah.
That's our advanced stats. That 10 sacks through three games the Bears' offensive line has given up. That's not horrible. I told you that, Sylvie. Like, you know, especially with the run, that, man, you talk about running the football, those lanes are open because of that offensive line. So at some point this season, the offensive line as a storyline is going to be a tired trope. Ultimately, it's on Justin Fields to get the damn ball down the field. That's what it comes down
to. Big Cat, there was a play, too, to your point, where someone was breaking it down. I was watching a quarterback breakdown on Fields, and they showed a play where Fields was pressured. And the guy who was breaking down the film said, look, here's where you've got to get rid of the ball. It was almost self-induced pressure. There was enough time to still deliver the ball to the open guy if he's just reacting the way he's supposed to react. So, no, this isn't a line that I've dreamt about. This isn't a line that will be together for a decade. But the line has been good enough for Justin Fields to be playing better than historically bad football. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I do think that as we get smarter analysis on football, people are starting to realize that quarterback sacks are really – they are a team stat. There are times, like, even a guy like Joe Burrow, who is phenomenal, went to the Super Bowl last year. Like, if you watch a Bengals game, there's probably two or three times in a game where the sack is on him. It's not his offensive line. Like, the offensive line gave him enough time. He just held on to the ball for too long or wanted to make a play, and the play wasn't there. So, like, a lot of this time when we blame an offensive line for quarterback sacks, the quarterback has a piece in that too. And what is he doing? Is he throwing the anticipation? And none of that's happening, and it's just frustrating, frustrating. And I will say this. The one silver lining on all this stuff, I actually have grown my confidence in Matt Eberflus has grown, because he is going up to the podium and being like, everyone's saying, why isn't he throwing more? Why isn't he throwing more? He's like, well, listen, we're trying to win a football game. We want to win a football game. Like, I know that there's a lot of people that say, hey, we need to see him throw, Justin Fields throw more so we can evaluate him more. No, they're trying to win games, and I actually appreciate that, because there's 52 other guys that are trying to win games. And you can't just have the entire season be Justin Fields gets to chuck the ball for no reason whatsoever, just so we can be like, he's probably not that good.
See, I agree to that to a point. Like, I would not ever say give up on winning. I'm not in this to tank or whatever, and I've always said that while I have wanted some teams in the past, like the Bulls and some others in town, to tank.
Cubs.
Tanking is not up to the players or the coach.
You don't get a World Series without tanking, pal.
Of course. You've got to start that at the top, Jay Hood.
Yeah.
You got to start at the top. But let me ask you this, Big Cat. Like, before the half, can't you do both? Aren't you trying to win the game by trying to push the ball down the field, 40 seconds left, a pocket full of timeouts, all three timeouts, you have first down? Why not let Justin see what he can do? Even if you get it kickstarted with a screen, with a draw that picks you up some yards, but use those and try to march down the field to kick a field goal before the end of the half to get more points so you can win the game. Do you know what I mean? I believe you can do both, where you can still build the quarterback and see more of what the quarterback can do in the context and the framework of doing what a normal NFL team would do in trying to win a game.
I agree, but I also my thought process behind it has changed a little bit as it's gotten a little older. I've started to realize, like, hey, you know what? Practice does matter, and these guys see – the coaches see the players in practice all the time. So I kind of think, like, they're just saying, we know what he can and can't do. He can't do a lot of things right now. And hopefully we get to that point. I'm rooting for him to get to that point. But I kind of lean towards the coaching staff. Like, sometimes like, oh, the coaching staff is trying to hold him back, or they're not letting him flourish. I think they're doing everything that he is able, like, they're giving him as much as he's able to do right this second. And it's not a lot. And that's the frustrating part. But I think it's just not a lot. So I think that's where the answer comes, is like, they might not feel super confident about an end of half, like, not talking end of game where you have to go, but end of half. Hey, we don't feel great about the odds here of possibly having a turnover when we're trying to steal 3 points.
So last week I said I was nervous. Like, whether what adjective would you use to best describe how you feel right now about Fields? Because I'm a step above nervous, whatever that may be, whether that's concerned. I'm not giving up. I'm not out. But where are you?
I think I'm above nervous. I also am not giving – you can't give up right now because, like, look, he hasn't played – what is this going to be? I don't even know how many starts this will be for him on Sunday. It would be like 12? I can't remember.
It's somewhere in the 13 or 14 range.
Yeah. That's about right, yep.
So that's still, like, let's get to 20 starts before we actually start making, you know, saying, okay, this is definitively one way or the other. But I am above nervous because I'm seeing, like, a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who I don't think the Jaguars have just tons of talent around them. They invested in wide receivers last year. But Christian Kirk isn't, like, you wouldn't say Christian Kirk is going around and being the number one on everyone's team. So I see, like, the progressions he's made and how much different he looks from year one to year two. And I start to get even more nervous and angsty. I think it's angsty more than anything, like you said last week. I don't want to do this again. And it feels like, especially considering the fact that this is not Ryan Poles' guy, that right now, if you had gun to your head, it leans towards probably having to do this again and finding another guy in the draft. And I don't want to do that. I want Justin Fields to be the guy, but he hasn't given me, other than that Steelers game last year that I was at, and I was like, ooh, this is awesome. He's throwing the ball down the field. I haven't had a moment where I've felt like, there it is. I see it. It might not be there every week. It might not be there every drive, but I see it, and I see that, like, what it could be. We haven't seen that once this year, and that's where the angsty comes from.
Big Cat, how much razzing are you getting on text and from the guys at Barstool regarding the Bears? I mean, yes, 2-1, but, when you are setting records the wrong way offensively, you must be getting some feedback negatively.
Honestly, I've gotten so good at just putting myself down that no one can say anything that I haven't said. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I beat everyone to the punch. Like, I beat everyone to the punch. No one can. And I actually appreciated that Justin Fields said in the press conference that he played like trash. Cause, like, on Part of My Take, I was like, Justin Fields played like trash. That's not my words. Those are his words. And it's like, takes it. Cause you guys probably feel the same way talking about this every single day on the radio. There's definitely a part of you that, like, I don't want to say I feel bad for him, but I want it to work. And I don't want to be overly harsh on a guy who hasn't had a lot of chances here. And it's obviously stacked against him. But it's just, it's bad right now. It's really, really bad right now. And it feels really, really bad to watch.
I mean, we definitely want it to work. Like, Big Cat, we've gotten everything. Like, Hoodie's gotten everything. The one thing I thought I would never get in my sports life was the Cubs World Series. Yes. I thought, like, there was a time in my life where I'm just like, I got to be good with not getting one. Like, my grandfather was born and he died before he saw the Cubs win a World Series.
And I called it.
Yeah, you did. You did. And for many years, you know, it was 88 years for the White Sox, too.
Yeah.
And so the White Sox got theirs. The Cubs got ours. We saw Jordan. We've seen 6 titles. Like, we were gifted, like, the best thing in sports we ever could have been gifted. And maybe that's the other side of this thing that we've got to pay. It's like karma. Since we had something so good like Jordan that the sports gods say to us, you're never allowed to have a star quarterback. You can never have a quarterback that you win because of. And the Packers are going to get 2 in your lifetime. You're never going to get 1. So, like, I just want it so badly. It's the last thing that I've not gotten in my sports life.
So you're not going to mention the Blackhawks? I mean,
titles?
The Blackhawks, apparently, Big Cat is like the weird uncle that you don't bring around for family reunion. It feels, it's a little uncomfortable. It's a little touchy-feely. That's where the Hawks are.
You might have hit that one a little too on the nose if we're talking about the 2010 Blackhawks, all right?
That's what we do.
Yeah. Put them in the corner and like, hey, yeah, that was fun, but let's not talk about it. But, yeah, it is. It's very sad to think about. Let me rant for a sec. You know what really makes me mad? Vikings fans. They're the worst.
Oh.
Because they're like, they come after me and they're like, you would kill for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins would be the best quarterback in Bears history. And that's probably true, but Kirk Cousins stinks. He's never winning a Super Bowl.
Stinks.
He's never taking them to the promised land. Like, as bad as Justin Fields is, there's still maybe something in there that, like, he could just become this superstar quarterback. We know exactly what Kirk Cousins is. He's the same guy every year. He turtles under the bright lights. I just hate that. Like, I would rather do what we're doing. And just keep drafting a guy and having those 2 years of hope where you're like, maybe this will be different, than have a Kirk Cousins type that you know in deep down there's nothing that he can do to win you a Super Bowl, but you get your hopes up every year.
You know who Kirk Cousins would be? Kirk Cousins would be the quarterback of the team that Garin Pax would be the general managers over in the NFL.
Yes. Yes. By the way, this Lonzo Ball thing, that's bad, huh? Like, I read a quote today, and he said he, like, can't walk upstairs. Is that – did I read that right?
Yes,
you
did.
You did read that right. Oh. It just has Scottie Pippen last year with the championship vibes. I'm not going to F my summer up. I'll take the surgery when I want. Big Cat, I'm very concerned because he is the head of the snake defensively on the perimeter. And Lonzo's getting better with his three-point shot, too. So I'm very concerned. Like, so you've been hurt since January. It's September. Now we know that he needs surgery. I have a problem with that. There's a disconnect there.
Yeah, I agree. And that you're absolutely right. Like, you can chart kind of where the Bulls' season started to fall apart last year with Lonzo being hurt. Like, he is – He's not their best player, but he might be one of their most important when you're talking about everything that needs to go together. And you can't win in the NBA when you have multiple negatives on defense. And, you know, Zach tries hard and Vooch tries hard, but like that was what Lonzo did, was he brought it together where it's like you can cover up some of the other defensive negatives on this court when he's out there. And so, yeah, that's all right. I thought, like, it was one of those situations where I read it, and I kind of closed my computer. I was like, nah, that wasn't real. I'm just gonna pretend that didn't exist. So this is
real.
A bummer that you guys have confirmed this. Yes, that's a second source. You guys.
Yeah. No. Thank you. And you know, with Hoodie, I wanted to talk Bulls with him a little bit too. Like, I was listening to Carmen do the math, and I think he missed some teams. I'm concerned that another Jerry Reinsdorf team just hasn't done enough to improve a pretty good team. Like, the White Sox, I thought, was pretty good. And then we're like, we're good with a pretty good team. Let's run it back. Let's try it again. Let's not add a second baseman. Let's not make any huge moves to adding to the core. And like, a lot of Bulls fans who contest me when I say that say, well, who did you want them to get? But I'm just like, Big Cat, when I do the math, okay, and we go through the divisions, here are the teams that I already know are for sure better than the Bulls. Boston's better, Brooklyn's better, Philadelphia's better. That's out of the Atlantic, okay? The Bucks are better in the Central. I know that for sure, so I've already named how many?
Four.
Four. And then I know the Heat are better. So that's five. Those are for sure teams. So that's already putting the Bulls six.
And Jimmy Butler's dreads are sick, by the way. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
In a good way or a bad way.
No, great way.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I'll show you.
It was shocking. Yeah.
So then I think I heard you yell, like, I think the Cavs are a touch better than the Bulls. I know the Raptors.
More than a touch. I think they're significantly better than the Bulls.
There you go. So, I mean, you've got the Cavs. I know the Raptors were really good last year. Scottie Barnes is really good. They're in the same class as the Bulls. The Atlanta Hawks got better. So, like, to me, when you do the math, we're talking about a team, like, in the seventh or eighth spot.
Charlotte.
Going in. Charlotte, like, who knows with the Knicks? We can look at the Bulls, I think, as being, like, a team that there's no guarantee they're making the postseason and they're in the play-in tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is a bummer because I think you're spot on. There are five or six teams that I can definitively say are better And so where does that lead them? Like, what are we – we're back to square one. We're back to exactly where we thought we'd – where we hated being, and that's, like, in the first few in the playoffs or the first few out, in that total no man's land where you're either playing the game of, oh, if all these guys get injured, maybe they can get to the Eastern Conference Final, or, oh, maybe if we get the lottery balls, we'll get the first pick. It's basically the entire franchise now is just built on a hope and a prayer. And yes, as a gambling guy, I can live with that because I'm actually already saying to myself, what if Giannis – didn't we sign Giannis's brother? Like, yes. What if he's better than Giannis? Maybe.
What if he's better than Giannis?
For sure. What isn't he, old, isn't
well,
he older than Giannis?
You don't know. You don't know. He just hasn't peaked yet.
That's right. Late bloomer.
There's Antetokounmpos out the yin-yang. It's a whole bunch of them. It's like four or five in the league or something. It's crazy.
Yeah, so what if we get them all?
And they're see?
They just got to figure it out. Giannis was a little bit of a late bloomer. He was like 120 pounds when he was 17 years old.
So I have this straight, Sylvia. I want to make sure this is right. The Bulls championships are the dad. The Cubs and Sox championships are the mom. The Bears are the great, like, kind of great uncle. The Chicago Sky are the cool cousins. And the Hawks are the weird uncle that you don't talk about, right?
Yeah, I think we nailed it.
Okay.
I think maybe the Bears are like the grandfather. Bears are too old. And, like, you know, they're a fixture. They're not my closest, but someone who was still very near and dear to me.
I see.
And the grandfather's like back in my day, I was winning all the time. And we're
right.
Like, okay, you can't even show us a video of it.
Right.
So what do we know?
The ball and with defense, and you knew that you played the Bears the day before. You know they were going to mess you up even when they were 1-13.
So
that's grandpa.
So with the Hawks, you just burned the album.
Yes,
I think the cat said it back. You're like over there.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun.
Yeah.
You gotta sit over here.
You look at
now.
The pictures. Yeah, you look at the pictures. You're like, why is that picture ripped? Who's missing?
any before we let you go, any good plays for the weekend to make us some money? And did you turn things around this past weekend?
I did turn things around. I think I like the Eagles against the Jaguars. I made an Eagles future substantial bet on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl before the season. So this is like my saving grace. Is I basically said to myself, the Bears are going to stink. They're going to bum me out. Let's bet on a team that's in the 20-20. I think I got 22-1 at range that I could maybe like get excited for. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be an Eagles fan, but I have an investment. So they've had a great start, and I just don't understand. Like, I think the Jaguars are good, but they're getting too much credit for beating some beat up teams.
And do you have a play?
Yeah, Eagles. Eagles.
Oh, there you go. Just jump on the Eagles.
Yeah, Eagles versus Jaguars. I think it's Eagles minus like 6. That makes no sense. They should be my advanced metrics have the Eagles as a 12-point favorite. So you're getting 6 points of value based on my computer models.
I love it. The model's back in the lab.
The model. You gotta love the model,
yeah,
brother.
Big Cat, you're the best. Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
Good to talk to you, man.
Yes. Yes, go! I can't wait for UIC basketball. Let's go.
By the way, Big Cat, I thought he was going to say, hey, Hoodie,
yeah.
I haven't had a chance to hear you except when Cap isn't listening to you or something like
that.
I thought you were going for a Cap joke, but then you went for the UIC joke.
No,
it was very well done.
There's been many times in my life where I've needed a ball to bounce my way,
yeah,
and I've pulled up the Watch ESPN app on my phone, and I got the sweet tones of Jay Hood trying to will me to victory is like UIC is down 15 and I need him to cover 12.5 or something. So I appreciate
him.
That's
so great. See you, Big Cat.
All right, see you guys.
All right, man.
Every Tuesday, 4 o'clock, he's brought to you by RJ Curcio and the Curcio Law Offices. If you need a personal attorney, give RJ a call, 312-321-1111. Put it in your phone. And you say, well, look, I may never need this, but if I do, I got RJ in my phone, and I'm going to call him today. All right, do you want to talk a little Bulls then? I know some more Bears fans want to call, so if you want to weigh in on Fields, we'll continue to take your call. I'd like to talk a little Bulls.
You and I are together. We have to talk Bulls. If we don't, that's a miss for our show.
All right, let's, and we can play some Lonzo. Lonzo spoke, and Big Cat alluded to it. Yeah, it wasn't a misquote what you heard about Lonzo's knee. Wait till you hear it coming up next. With Hoodie today, it's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Waddle was on with Cap. We're at our partner golf outing, having a blast at the Sanctuary Golf Course. So golfer Bob is an SIU grad. Met him years ago. He's their PGA pro here. And the first time we've all been out here together. It's been a great day today with all of our partners.
You know, I think, Sylvie, I have an idea for you and I. For you and I, Skokie and South Shore.
Yeah.
We need to be able to come up. That was the name of our old show, by the way, Skokie and South Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Our old show at
S&S.
Night.
S&S.
That's what we had. Didn't have the T-shirts, but the alliteration was fantastic. Nonetheless, I think that for these golf events, we need to be together. They always put us to the side. Oh, Sylvie threw his, you know, threw his golf clubs
away.
And, you know, threw it in the lake, right? Oh, Hoodie's got the bad back. You know what? We should have our own group, you and I, no matter how bad the
swing
is.
So you would rather be out there today playing in our own group
and
than doing the show?
And broadcasting.
Oh, broadcasting while we play.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
I say we do like a miniature golf thing instead of just like a real golf thing.
Right.
Can we do our next golf outing? We're hitting the ball through the clown, Keith. Come on. The roller coaster. I love parking. So I grew up at a place called Parking in Morton Grove, and now they've got one in Buffalo Groves. One of our listeners came with a shirt the other day that had Parking on it. They had this cool one where you would hit it in an elevator of the Sears Tower.
Mm-hmm.
You hit it in the elevator, it goes all the way to the top of the Sears Tower, then it drops down some sort of thing, and you try and hit, and it goes, rolls into the hole or something like that. That's my type of golf, Hoodie.
Well, I like that, but I also like the idea of a couple of people that just don't golf well, like you and I, and it could be in our group.
It should just turn it into the match. Like, you guys are the Charles
God.
Barkley of the match.
Oh, my God.
Do we have 200 strokes each? I mean,
yeah, seriously.
Come on now.
You know my golf game, man. I'm the big guy that can hit it 300 yards and got no use for the irons.
Well, can you hit it 300 yards?
I can hit it
really?
Far. I can hit it far, but then after that, I got no
short
finesse.
Game.
None.
All right, well, I'll do your short game. You hit the drives.
Oh.
How about that? We'll scramble together.
I'm going to hit
Skokie and South Shore.
I'm going to hit it hard. And then now we turn it over to Sylvie. Sylvie, go ahead. Finish it up. Yes.
A couple of notes I want to give you. First of all, we're going to be out in Woodridge on Friday. It's this Friday that's coming quickly. And this is going to be another twist, just like today's show. It's going to be with Carmen and Yurko and me. So we're going to form together. Waddle will be out at Boston College visiting his youngest daughter, who's a freshman at BC. So he'll get to see her for the first time since she went to school. And Carmen and Yurko will be joining me out at Legends in Woodridge. It's a Miller Lite event. We'll have great giveaways. I know we've got a Miller Lite Bears cooler to give away. There's like a several hundred dollar cooler. One of those really cool coolers that you need to tailgate. Come on out and see us at Legends in Woodridge. And then get your Would You Rathers, and we'll read some Would You Rathers coming up. WS Would You Rather via Twitter. I want to play you some of the Lonzo Ball audio. When Tyler and Meller told me that he was talking, I'm like, whoa, I didn't. And he has surgery tomorrow. So this is like something. I've always been worried about this because in the exit interviews, some of the things they said, it just painted a picture that they still didn't know why he was having pain. The MRIs, everything structurally together. He had the initial surgery, didn't respond to it. What's going on? So he never healed. And how bad has it been? Here's Lonzo talking about what he cannot do.
Can't run. So can't run or jump. So there's like a range from like 30 to 60 degrees when my knee is bent that I have like no force and I can't like, you know, catch myself. So until I can do those things, you know, I can't play. So I did rehab. It was getting better, but it was not to a point where I can get out there and actually go out there and run at, you know, full speed or jump. So surgery is the next step.
That's where we are, Hoodie.
Okay, so between January and September, he says he was rehabbing, feeling better. But can he do full sprints? Can he get up and down the floor this summer? If he couldn't, then
he said, no, "Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not with you on the Scottie Pippen thing.
It's a stretch. I was saying that just to
to accentuate the point that Scottie did. I don't want to have him.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I did that for the bit.
By the way,
this show is so meet the press. Go ahead.
I listen. What do you want me to say? I listen to what you say, and I react to it. You're not used to having the guy hear what you say and go, wait a minute, what did you just say?
That's true.
Did you hear, too? My wife told me while we were going out to dinner on Saturday that it's official now or something, that Larsa and
And Michael Jordan's
son? And Michael's son are a thing when they were initially saying that they were just friends?
I saw something that they've been hanging out more. So that one thing was not a one-off.
No, it's not. Like, this is something's – I believe that this is all pre-planned. I think this is Larsa and Michael forming together to get back at Scottie. They both have an equal – they both want the same thing here.
Yes.
They want to create pain for Scottie right now. And I believe they concoct it together. What's the best way we can deliver the pain? And they came up with this plan.
Son, I need you to go to the basket.
Yeah. I think this is like a Kardashian-esque story that is good for the show and is good for what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really weird. But
it is very weird. There's no doubt.
Same with Alonzo knee injury. Like, there's so many things that makes me worried about this. See, Larsa Pippen snuggles with Marcus Jordan, looking real couple-ish. Exclusive TMZ. Thank you, OV. See, OV from our sales department just showed me that.
God, so there will never be then like a Scottie Michael reunion then. If the son is smashing the ex, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Like, can you imagine how old was Marcus when the Bulls were winning titles and Larsa's with Scottie? What is he, five? Is he four?
Yeah.
And then Larsa's go, oh, you're so cute. You know, in 25 years, we're going to be sleeping together. I mean, can you believe it? It's so hot.
He's doing that. She's doing that now with them. You're so cute, but it's a little bigger than, you know, just being a little cute guy, you know.
So, but and the other thing about Lonzo.
You were saying.
Not only do we not know when he's going to be back, not only do we not, like, they're just doing this arthroscopic surgery, I would think, to explore. And then if they see something, they'll clean it out. But I don't know if they even know what they're looking for or if they even know what's wrong. Like Kendrick Nunn, they've always said that Lonzo not only had the issue where he had surgery, but he also had a bone bruise on top of that. And sometimes they say bone bruises could last for a year. It kept Kendrick Nunn out for a full year. So we're just dealing with still something. I don't truly know why he's got the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then second of all, Hoodie, you talked about this before. Lonzo's been a really improved player.
Yes, no question.
And what he's done for the Bulls, this is now a year where he hasn't played basketball and worked on his game. All these guys get back in the lab, they improve their game. Lonzo now had a full offseason where he could not carve his craft. He could not get better. His shooting could not get better. None of the stuff that he wants to work on could be worked on because his knee wasn't good enough to do it.
Well, I really liked what Lonzo was doing when he was healthy. Coming out of New Orleans, his three-point shot got better. And then that was going to carry over to the Bulls. People thought he didn't have a shot. No, his shooting was better in New Orleans at the end of his time there. But what really is bothersome to me is that the Bulls don't have that head of the snake, that guy that could be able to work against other guards because he was so good on the perimeter defense. It was him and Caruso. They were very good together. That's a problem. And so, but then when I see AK, when I see Karnaschovas there, Art Carney sitting there, and Carney is saying, well, you know, it's about chemistry and team cohesion. Oh, Garn packs vibes. Garn packs vibes because your upgrade was Goran Dragic. Okay, they got a slew of veteran guards. They're not like Lonzo Ball and what he could bring because Lonzo Ball is a big guard with a long wingspan. So bring
and Andre Drummond too, but again, another serviceable veteran who does some nice things. But again, they needed shooting. Neither of those guys really fit the bill for shooting. And now with Lonzo out, you take another step with that. Like you say, Gar, you texted me this before, and here's how I respond. I think the Sox are a good example. It's not Gar and Pax vibes. It's Jerry Reinsdorf vibes.
I get it.
And what I want to know again is, like I just asked all Sox season, did Rick Hahn have enough to improve second base? Or was he told you have $5 million to improve second base, go sign Josh Harrison? Like, could they have gone to get anybody if they wanted? Was Trevor Story an option? Or were they not allowed to spend a certain amount of money? The same thing with the Bulls. They're not in the luxury tax.
They're not.
Okay. Now, look, I know Utah wanted a king's ransom for their two guys. So I know those were out. I didn't want them to force something that didn't make sense.
You don't want to gamble with Danny Ainge, by the way.
No.
That team will be good in 3 years.
He's always going to rock.
Yeah. So.
He will not pull the trigger on a deal unless he wins it.
Yeah.
You're so right about that.
Yeah.
But I still think there could have been more creative moves they could have made. I don't like going to the post with a team just running it back that, in my opinion, isn't good enough.
Well, let's just say this. I'm glad that the Bulls are a playoff team in the mix. How often did we complain that they were out of the playoffs? So we're out of the Garden Pack. So, okay, so let me move the goalpost. So now you're a playoff team. Okay, now I want sustained success in the playoffs. Now I want you to build on what you have. Now I want the NBA championship.
Sure.
So, but listen, I'm happy that they're a good team, Sylvie. I'm happy they're a good team. And they will be a good team. Because you got Zach LaVine, you've got Pat Williams growing up, you've got Vucevic. But the question I have coming in, my number one question, so what does DeRozan look like? In a charm season last year, right? You're watching the games, and all of a sudden, you saw Bulls players saying, well, DeRozan's cooking from two. I'm not going to get involved in the offense. Go right ahead. Can he do that this year?
I don't know. It was a career year for him. I still think he could be very good. I'd like to see Zach take more of that, too, and where it's this total two-star tandem who work together. It's not always perfect with Brown and Tatum, but I'd like to see that sort of thing where when one's not well, the other guy's cooking. When one's the other one's not well, the other guy cooks. You know, the point guard thing, which you brought up. If you read all the point guards Zach LaVine has played with through his career with the Bulls, we all want him to live up to stuff.
Yeah.
Last year was the first time, and it only lasted like 36 games, where he had a true point guard. Like, if you read the point guard Zach has played with, then it's going to be another year where Zach may not really have a true point guard next to him. That's a lot. The point guard's it's an important position. It's not like the old school point guard days, but it's still a vital position that you make the offense go a little more. I don't want Zach holding dribbling as much. You see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
He gets very loose with the handles. DeMar, in my opinion, handled it too much, but out of necessity. Who's going to fill that role?
It's about 1-2 punches, right? We went through the teams earlier. Talk about the Celtics and what they have. The Bucks and what they have with Giannis and Middleton and the Nets with Kyrie and KD and Simmons. Toronto will be scrappy. Atlanta will be better. Charlotte's going to have something to say. Philadelphia. The Cavs have Donovan Mitchell. I know because I heard you on the air here on Waddle and Sylvie. You are not happy that the Cavs made that move and they got probably an additional 23 points a game and the Bulls stood still.
Right.
I mean, the Cavs just like that are a top six team in the East for me.
And then they were scary without Donovan Mitchell. Young, long, strong, scary. And the entire league's improving. You saw Memphis improve last year. The Pelicans had a great second half of the season.
Yes, they did.
They're going to be good with getting Zion back. Like, there are a lot of improving teams, and the Bulls may not even be a top half team. I think they're bottom.
I don't know if I want to go
bottom third.
Don't do that.
But
don't do that.
Are they?
No, don't do that. Now that's too far. Now you're going too far.
I'm telling you, there are a lot of good NBA teams, Hoodie.
Tyler, isn't he going too far? He's got them down there with the Knicks. He can't in Detroit. That's not where they are.
But if you think about if DeMar DeRozan doesn't play like that next year,
right?
Then what are they?
That's because we talk about 1-2 punches, right?
Yeah.
You don't like Vooch.
I don't. I like Vooch if he plays Orlando Vooch. It's like I have a.
You need to let it go.
I have a comp for you because I knew I was working with you today. So I went into the shop and I came up with some comps on Vooch. My goal is to make you understand where I'm coming from with Vooch.
All right.
We could do that next. We'll read some Would You Rathers. It's Waddle and Sylvie. We're
with the ESPN Chicago Open with all of our great partners here at the Sanctuary Golf Course. Hoodies in for Waddle today. Waddle was on with Cap this morning. All things back to normal tomorrow. And then things will have a curveball again on Friday. We're out at Woodridge at Legends as Carmen Yurko will be joining me.
So back to abnormal.
Abnormal on Friday. Yeah. But look, you got to keep everyone honest. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Back to the Bulls conversation that we're happy. It's always tough when we're riffing on the Bulls, too, to, like, stop and hold our thoughts. But with you busting my balls about Vooch, it's the same thing as, like, Javi Baez as a Detroit Tiger. Do you think anybody is happy with Javi in Detroit?
No.
Javi's a good player, but they paid a lot of money for him, and he underdelivered.
Yep.
Vooch, the Bulls gave up a lot for. They're paying him a lot of money, and he underdelivered. It doesn't mean that Vooch isn't good. It doesn't mean that Javi's not good. It means what Javi gave to the Tigers this year wasn't good enough, and what Vooch gave to Bulls fans shouldn't be good enough for anybody either.
I would say that Vucevic has to shoot the ball better from three. He knows that too. But you were over the top on Vucevic last year. You had to find a whipping boy, and you found
not
him.
True.
I listened to the show. You just hosted. You don't know what's going on.
I listen to myself all the time. Unfortunately, yeah, I have to live inside this head. Do you know how tough that is for me? Like, you make
it. Hey, I'm the one listening in the car. You don't know what's going on. You were over the top going after Vucevic.
You know.
Over the top. And all I'm telling you is that I like the versatility of Vucevic. You're not going to get
too.
You knew coming in he wasn't going to be a banger on the inside.
He's a good defensive rebounder.
Yeah, he walks
I'd like a little more effort on defense, and I'd like better shooting.
But he walks in the gym with 20 and 10.
No, not true. Not exactly. What was he, 16 and 10 this year?
He walks
in
the gym.
Like, 16's not good enough. And this is a hoodieism because I listen to you too. You love the pillars. You want the pillars of a franchise. Vooch is supposed to be a pillar. He was the first move that you mortgaged a lot for.
Correct.
Not good enough. Not good enough.
Fair.
Deserve more.
Fair. But all I want from him is better three-point shooting because I know coming in he's not going to be a defensive guy. As a matter of fact, we knew under the Donovan administration that this team is small. It's relatively small, Sylvie. Yeah, when you need Drummond for size
right.
and for muscle, that means you're not very big. And cool, the league is smaller anyway and skilled. But at some point in the East, you need somebody to be able to push somebody out of the lane, be a little bit more strong defensively. If your best defensive player is Caruso or Ball when he's healthy, that's a problem.
Yeah. You happy with Grandal on the south side?
No.
No, right.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
You want him?
The high price tag has high expectations. When guys don't deliver,
that's
it's
fair.
Disappointing.
That's fair.
So 312-332-3776. Courtney Cronin's going to join us. We'll get you updated on the Bears. What does she think about Justin Fields? She's very impartial. She's very good at what she does. I'm interested to hear what she thinks the Bears should do with Fields as far as those moments when maybe they need to give him more rope. We'll discuss that. Would you rather in the 5 o'clock hour? Send us your Would You Rather entries at WS Would You Rather on Twitter. Use that hashtag. Send them to Tyler, and we'll get you going. Also got Meller's waiver wire today. So a lot to do in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk to Courtney coming up next.